If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen. Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dan Z and Corey Club.
All troopers, focus your fire on...
on the Jedi.
Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
I'm in space! And I'm about to die!
We need an opening.
Found one!
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.
Hello and welcome to Rebels Reactions, a new season of reactions here at Coffee with Kenobi, where we will be breaking down and analyzing Star Wars Rebels, our favorite show, in a new and analytical way. So it's going to be a brand new season. We just kicked it off with a great one-hour episode entitled Steps into the Shadow. So we got to have a great discussion about that today. Of course, I'm your host, Aaron Harris. Joining me today for this discussion and this analysis of this awesome episode is the one and only Mike McDonald.
Oh, well, thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And also joining us is our good friend and pal, Joe Taylor. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good.
All right, well, welcome both back to Rebels Reactions. Y'all aren't strangers to the show. You've joined me before, so it's good to have you back to discuss the premiere of Season 3 of Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
We had quite an adventure on our hands with this episode.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good discussion because we got a lot to go over. There's a lot packed into this one-hour episode, more than I was anticipating, honestly. So... well, Steps in the Shadow, of course, was a tremendous episode. Of course, we see Ezra right off the bat growing in his force powers as he leads a mission with the rebels of our ghost crew to break out our old Clone Wars buddy Hondo Onaka and his little friend Turba out of prison just in order to get some information that would aid the rebellion. Well, meanwhile, the Empire is, of course, trying to figure out how to thwart the remaining band of rebels after they have, according to Tarkin, defeated the Jedi leadership of the rebellion, a.k.a. Vader beating Ahsoka, I'm assuming. So they are going in, and the governor of Lothal requests the 7th Fleet to come in, which is, of course, commanded by... the long-awaited return of the Legends or Expanded Universe favorite Admiral, Grand Admiral Thrawn. So, and of course, we go on a tremendous mission, again led by Ezra, to steal some Y-Wings, and things don't turn out the way he thinks they are. We'll go at that point, and we see, of course, the rest of the Rebellion step in and, of course, rescue out. And we see a lot of growth. We've seen a lot of changes in our crew. I think we'll just go ahead and start the discussion from there. I mean, we jump right off. Of course, everybody looks different. Sabine's got new hair color. But we're seeing a big difference in Ezra. Ezra has grown up quite a bit since we last saw him in the season finale of season 2. What are your thoughts on where they're taking Ezra right now, Joe?
He's going to a very dark place. I mean, with his ability to open the Sith holocron, which is only can only be opened by dark side users. So obviously he's got some darkness in him.
Absolutely. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you, saying absolutely. He's definitely stepping in a direction we don't like to see our heroes go. He's wielding the Sith holocron. He's opened it, and he even admits he's learning from it, learning skills. We even see him use that at the beginning of the episode when they're breaking Hondo out of prison, when he uses the Force to control the driver of the AT-DT to blast the stormtroopers that are trying to stop them, which is quite a dark move. Matter of fact, it even shocked Sabine and everybody else that's with him. And Sabine even asked him, when did Kanan teach you that? And with a very cold and distant look on his face, Ezra replied, he didn't. So very, very interesting.
It was a very cool reveal too.
Oh, absolutely.
As the episode started, he kind of stepped out of the shadow there. And you see his new haircut, and then he whips out his lightsaber and does that awesome twirl into the troopers. That was, it's like, without a doubt, yep, he's not the same Ezra from last season.
Oh, no, not at all. He's grown a lot in the Force. And you mentioned his new lightsaber was something I wanted to bring up too, because at the end of, or throughout season one and through season two, up till when Darth Vader destroyed it in their battle in the finale of season two, he had this unique lightsaber, which doubled as a blaster with that uniquely blue blade that we see a lot of Jedis carry. But then with his new lightsaber he's built, it's not a blaster. It's just a straight standard, seems to be, Jedi lightsaber. And we have a green blade this time rather than the blue blade he had before. And of course, we see him with a lot more power than he had at the end of season two, which kind of reminded me of the type of growth we saw between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi for Luke, as Luke had his blue lightsaber through A New Hope and through Empires, and was just starting to learn the ways of the Force. And then after being defeated by Vader, he rebuilds a new one. And it comes, and next time he beats him, he's even stronger and more powerful. And he has that nice blue or nice green saber to go along with. Very reminiscent to what Ezra is dealing with now, too. He's a lot stronger.
Right.
So definitely some interest there in where he's going. And of course, being the growing up and becoming more of that teenage kid, of course, we see that rebellion in him, too, that a lot of parents will understand. Even at one point tells Kanan that he doesn't need him out of anger, which is not the type of attitude we had seen in Ezra throughout these episodes.
And it's interesting too, with, like, you're just drawing the comparisons with his new saber and just how Luke got his new saber. When we saw Luke in Jedi, the first thing we see Luke do is choke a couple of Gamorrean guards, which, you know, on the surface, it's like, oh, that's something Jedi do. But really, that's more of a dark side thing. But I felt like when you saw Luke in Jedi, he had grown up since Empire.
Yeah.
Whereas Ezra's coming sort of right out of the gate after season two. And he's advanced maybe without, taking the steps maybe that Luke did. So, yeah, it's very jarring to see him like this for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we know just from filling in the blanks from the movies, we know Luke didn't go back to Dagobah after he had left, after his incident with Vader. He waited till after he rescued Han from Jabba before he went back. So a lot of that stuff he had learned through the Force on his own. And we're seeing that a lot with Ezra at this point, except for he's now being influenced by the Sith holocron, because, of course, we have Kanan, who was rendered blind at the end of season two and is dealing with the emotional baggage of his newfound disability. And he is obviously has not been dealing with it well since we last saw him. Of course, he's apparently in a lot of meditation. He's not going on missions. Apparently, he's even distanced himself from the crew of the Ghost. So their once strong leader, who they always look to, is taking a back seat to their actions between seasons.
Definitely a lot more chaotic, again, than what we saw with Luke, where Luke, you know, lost sort of Ben in episode 4, and that was, he was sort of on his own. Well, no, he had Yoda in episode 5. I shouldn't say that. But Kanan's there, but he's not interacting. So yeah, it's definitely, it's, you know, Ezra's acting harshly, Ezra's acting out of anger, but honestly, his mentor's around the corner. So it's so chaotic right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's Kanan's there, but he's not there. Everybody knows where he is, but he just does not interact and doesn't participate like he used to. It's almost like he's sulking at this point.
Right.
And which is definitely not a, not the type of strength that we would have imagined him to have through the first two seasons, but it just shows what kind of damage that Maul actually really did to him at the end of season 2. He didn't just steal his sight. He stole his confidence, stole his strength, stole his everything, all that confidence he had built through from the end of the first season when he killed the Grand Inquisitor.
Right.
Through season 2, all that confidence he had built, we just saw wiped away in the blink of an eye, flash of a saber, actually. So definitely we're going to see some growth in Kanan as well. But Kanan gets snapped out of things by a new character to the Star Wars universe. We got Bendu, he's not really a force wielder. very interesting character, of course, voiced by Tom Baker, one of the Doctors, if you're a Doctor Who fan. So, very talented actor, a lot of history there.
Great performance.
Oh, phenomenal.
I had it playing, Aaron, I mentioned to you last night when we were planning this that I took the day off of work, and I had it playing because I was busy around the house, so I couldn't sit and watch the episode sort of uninterrupted. So I just had it on a playlist playing all afternoon, and I would just stop in my tracks whenever those scenes came on. He's just, it was such a cool performance.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he did phenomenal. And the Bendu character is quite interesting. He's definitely strong in the Force because he was able to communicate, as we saw with Kanan, through the Force, summoning him out of the rebel base to meet with him, because as Bendu said, his presence, that Kanan's presence there was chaotic. There was no rest for Bendu anymore. And Bendu, when talking to Kanan, Bendu, he's trying to identify him as a Sith or a Jedi, and he's like, and Bendu had the most poignant saying at that point. It really stuck out to me, is the Sith or the Jedi deal with the light, the Sith deal with the dark. I am in the middle.
Which is, that's a new concept. You know, when at the heart of the whole, you know, the whole Force discussion, it's good guy, bad guy, light side, dark side. All of a sudden this new Force, this new character is in the middle. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you don't take a stand? Does that mean you're a bridge? Like, there's just, it's so cryptic.
Very cryptic. The concept honestly reminded me of going back to the Clone Wars, where we had the father who separated, and the daughter who was the light side, and the son who was the dark side, the Mortis trilogy. And the father was the in-between. He kept the light and the dark separated. But this isn't even that. I mean, I immediately went to that, but then I'm like, you know, that's not, it's even a different concept than that. Because
the father was almost fighting a battle.
Exactly.
Between his kid, between the children. So yeah, this was just, I said this at the round table discussion we had with the trailer, and I don't trust him, her, it. I don't trust him.
Yeah, it's
Bendu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see where they carry Bendu, because he's very larger than life. I mean, not literally and figuratively as well. I mean, he's got a lot of power, a lot of wisdom. We see that as he helps Kanan work through his issues, helping Kanan realize the issue is not that he's lost his sight, but that he has lost his confidence, and helps him regain the confidence and pretty much, as he says, regain his sight through the Force.
Right.
And those, yeah. Even to the point that those creepy spiders that were freaking everybody out in season two, when they found this rebel base, were not even an issue for him anymore. He walked right by him. No equipment, none of those sensor probes that kept him away with them or anything like that, because Bendu broke it. So we see a newfound confidence in Kanan by the end of this, because definitely his sight is still gone, and he has that interesting mask he wears now. It's almost has like the very similar design coloring, not necessarily the coloring, but the design on the mask that he wears itself. It reminds me a lot of the design that was on the top of Rex's old Clone Wars helmet.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, the J guys, I think they were referring to. Yeah.
So he's got those there, and of course you see him pull that off, and he has that dark scar comes across his face, across both eyes, where unfortunately his injury took place. And we find out, of course, in this episode from his dealing with Bendu that they tell him he's not going to get his sight back, but Bendu's going to help him see again. And we see that because he brings him to a whole new level of confidence through this whole thing. Now, we mentioned, of course, the rebellion, of course, has placed a lot of trust in Ezra at this point. They're now letting him go on missions. They're letting him command missions, and not just go. He's always gone on missions, but he's now commanding missions. And this episode actually opens with him commanding a mission of his own, breaking into an Imperial prison and busting out our good buddy Hondo.
Woohoo!
it's always good to see Hondo, isn't it? I tell you, it's one of those characters that we're always happy to see come back. He was always very entertaining in the Clone Wars, and has not failed to entertain us during Rebels as well.
It was nice too having him there as a little bit of comic relief, because this was a heavy duty episode. So he comes out of his cell, and one of the first things he says, "Purple guy, Mando girl." I cracked up when he said that.
Exactly. He's got that this way and this confidence about him that is unbelievable. He is just got this. He still has that pirate swagger he had during the Clone Wars, and he really has nothing now. But we are looking at this rescue, and this is where, of course, we see a lot of the dark side of Ezra start to reveal itself as the episode continues, and to that rescue, and we see him come out at that point. And of course Hondo is Lord Ezra there, of course, with the promise of information, but of course Hondo didn't have the information. His cellmate Turba did, and of course Turba is one of those lovely little Ugnaughts that we start seeing pop up quite regularly during Rebels now. Of course, the Ugnaughts are the ones who, of course, dumped Han and Carbonite there on Cloud City. So it's nice to see them in other environments, but apparently they're very mechanically inclined people. And this is where we find out that the Rebels are looking at building and expanding their fleet. And the information that Turba had and that Hondo provided was for this fleet of Y-Wings that we saw in the teaser trailer. And, of course, we get to see them now. Of course, they tells them about this secret installation, Reclam Station, where they are dismantling all these old Clone Wars type of vehicles. And, of course, the Y-Wings are there. And so they decide they could go in and steal some and build a fleet. We start seeing they didn't waste note. They said at the beginning of during celebration that this season would begin tying into not only Rogue One but to the original trilogy, more into the original trilogy as well,
with
the Birth of the Rebellion. And they wasted no time jumping into that.
Nope,
not at all. With these Y-wings showing up,
yeah,
it almost felt like home.
All we need is one more letter wing.
I know.
I want to see my X-Wings, but let's not jump ahead.
we've gotten the A-Wing, we've gotten the B-Wing, we just got the Y-Wing. So, you know, the only two ships that I still need to see before Rebels ends are the X-Wings, and I would still love to see a glimpse of the Falcon.
Oh, interesting.
I still think we have some hope to see that one still.
Sure.
Especially
sure.
with Lando popping up when he did. I got a feeling he'll be back. You never know, and never know who will be with him when he does come back. Because we do have a lot of love for Han everywhere. So, and that's quite a remarkable ship. Fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
That's right.
Oh, but we digress. So, of course, we got the Y-Wings. And, of course, Chopper, God love his little soul. Chopper is always the one being... Chopper had a few good chuckles in this moment, in this episode, too. Chopper is my go-to guy, of course. Everybody knows that. of course, unfortunately, he does not have good experiences on Reclam Station. He gets shocked and shut down by a dismantler droid, which is part of the security of the station. And then he gets told he gets to fly several of the Y-Wings remotely. So he's not too thrilled about that, obviously. But let's take a look at that station. I mean, it's very, very nice station. Sending in the clouds, very similar to Cloud City, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Where it's just kind of hanging there in orbit of this planet.
There was also, if you looked under sort of the main section of it, and there were almost like tanks, sort of tall, skinny tanks. There is concept art for Cloud City that's lifted right from McCrory Concepts.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, they pull a lot from those McCrory Concepts into Rebels, and that's why I love it. And we see that a lot through Reclam Station as well. And we get to connect with some of the people at Reclam Station. We got more Ugnaughts who Hondo convinces to help them by telling them he's a friend of Turban. We're there to free them. Maybe. So, and of course, the commander of Reclam Station is somebody that we've seen before in Rebels. It's the commander of the Star Destroyer, the top secret Star Destroyer, the one that was pulling ships out of hyperspace and capturing them. Apparently, after the loss of that ship, he got sent to the furthest reaches of the galaxy as punishment. He got kicked to what would be considered Alaska here. So, yeah, send him to a remote listening station in Alaska. So we see him up there, and of course we got very nice adventure that happens there as they battle the droids, the dismantler droids, and of course Ezra has to figure out how to free the Y-Wings. They get locked down, and of course winds up taking out the station in the process. And we have some adventure there, because then everything just starts falling apart, and things aren't going the way they want. The Empire shows up as the Y-Wings are escaping, and they don't have any hyperdrives because they were about to be destroyed. And Ezra is realizing, I can't do this. Where is Kanan? Because Kanan's always been there to pull him out of that bind. Because he's now stuck. He's now stuck. And you see that look of panic in Ezra's face as everything is going down. So
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to recall. There's the scene where Ezra is speaking to the Sith holocron. Does that happen after he gets rescued, or is that before they go on this mission?
That's before they go on the mission. That's after they get back from the prison break.
Okay.
Before,
so this it could be considered, this is maybe Ezra, you know, a little bit of hope as far as.
Exactly. Cause we see him throughout the episode, especially right there at the beginning, after getting through that first mission. Once he gets back to the base, and of course Turba gets killed in the escape. And of course he's taking a lot of heat for that, cause he was the commander of the mission. And according to Hera, he didn't know all the details of the mission. And That, of course, upset Ezra, because he says he knew the details that he was made aware of. But unfortunately, Turba did die. And we see him interact with the holocron, opens up, and it talks to him. Now, did anybody else just, I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong, but to you, did anybody else think that kind of sounded like Mother Townsend?
My thought was Asajj Ventress.
Ooh, Ventress.
It sounds like Nika Futterman to me, the actress, but I don't, I know there was a novel with Asajj, so I don't know where that falls into.
Okay.
But I guess if she's, if it's her and she's just a voice now, it this could have happened. That's what I was hearing, was Asajj Ventress.
You're right, it is Nika Futterman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Asajj. So we had the voice of Asajj Ventress voicing the Sith holocron. Very interesting.
Now, we do see in that trailer sort of the green mist, which I think was implying the Night Sisters. So who knows? Maybe we'll see whole sort of revisiting to that whole side of things.
Absolutely. Well, we do have Maul still running around, and we know he has a connection with the Sisters. So definitely there is that possibility we'll see that in the future.
Right.
But the holocron was very interactive with Ezra in ways we had never seen in a holocron before.
Yeah, it was a two-way conversation.
Yes, which is, I mean, we see the Jedi holocron, of course, at the beginning of the very first episode of Rebels with the recording from Obi-Wan Kenobi warning him to stay away from the temple.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Oh,
that's my favorite scene.
There's your first goosebump moment in the whole series. Oh,
yeah, exactly. And now we got the Sith holocron, and it shows you just the difference between the Sith. At this point, you just leave, even looking at their holocrons, shows you the difference between the Sith and the Jedi at that point. I mean, because, I mean, granted, there could be some Jedi holocrons that interact the same way, but our experience and everything we've seen doesn't work that way.
And there's such a seduction from the voice. You know, she's feeding him lines that we hear Palpatine use. You know, it makes you stronger. You know, your anger gets fed. It makes you stronger. It's just, it's such bad news.
Oh, yeah.
It's he's being seduced, you know, literally. We've heard about being seduced by the dark side, but I think this is literally now.
Yeah, we're seeing it a lot more in this. He even used a line that I relate to Anakin at that point, where he's like, after Turbo was killed and he's in his room before the holocron starts talking to him, he's like, I will not let my friends get hurt again.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just got that dead set, I'm going to do whatever it takes, and he's holding the holocron when that happens, even if it means this, I'm not going to let my friends get hurt again. And that definitely a very dark moment, because we see that same concern with Anakin. Anakin, of course, was worried about Padme passing away, concerned about his baby, not knowing they were twins, when he wound up flipping to the dark side because those seeds were planted.
Right, right. The only thing I think that's different from Anakin's sort of story is I feel like Ezra, at the heart of Anakin's issues was attachment and, you know, sort of selfishness. Mm-hmm. What I got from Ezra's line was that I'm not going to let them be hurt again, rather than, you know, I'm not going to lose, I can't lose my friends, or, you know, it was more about protection than I think maybe we saw from Anakin, where he was more selfish.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. He was more concerned with what's going to happen to his friends and making sure they're safe.
Yeah. And I think
I don't want to lose these people.
Right. And I think because of his age and he has this tool, mm-hmm. It's just, well, obviously this is the solution.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, he has had a hard life. I mean, he lost his parents at a young age. So now he's got this new family and he's already seen, you know, he's lost Ahsoka. I mean, Harris talking to Kanan even says, you know, Ezra is blaming himself for not only Kanan's blindness, but for the loss of Ahsoka.
Right.
And so he's got definitely some inner issues that obviously need to be worked through. And he's unfortunately turning to the holocron to help him empower and right. protect.
And really, way too many responsibilities for a kid. I mean, is he 16, 17 maybe at this point?
I would think so at this
point. I have an 18-year-old, and I'm terrified when he leaves the house in the minivan, let alone, leading rebel missions and that sort of thing. So you've got the pressure on the poor kid, And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's Force sensitive.
Oh, yeah, on top of that.
It's just, I don't know. I what we saw at the end of the episode with Kanan showing up to rescue, I really hope that maybe for the season, it's less about Ezra spiraling down and maybe Kanan hopefully trying to level things.
I would definitely hope so, because we see a glimmer of hope toward the end of the episode. Of course,
yeah.
Reclam stations, anti-grav units are destroyed, energy units are destroyed, and it's kind of falling toward the core of the planet. Ezra's trapped on it, and Kanan, of course, comes to the rescue with in the Ghost with Hera, and is the one that winds up rescuing Ezra. And it's definitely a very, very poignant, very touching. I mean, this is honestly a very touching moment because, Ezra Kanan can't see. So he's trusting in his newfound Bendu taught abilities
right.
to see past his disability to rescue Ezra, who is at this point realized that, to a certain extent, he can't do it on his own. He needed right. Kanan. And Kanan wound up showing up. And of course, he had to make that leap of faith to let go of the station he was holding on to for dear life. And as he started to float away from the station, you see Kanan just snatch him and pull him in to safety as the rebellion, of course, makes their escape. Definitely a lot of interesting material.
Yeah.
In this episode. And we haven't even scratched on the biggest target and the most anticipated target of the season yet. And before we do, though, we're going to actually take a quick pause here and let Dan and Corey tell us about the Topps mobile trading app with the Star Wars Trader game. Take it away, guys.
If you're a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars Card Trader app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, and The Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun, too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun, too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either. As you sign up, for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
All right. Thank you, Dan and Corey. And welcome back, everybody. It's Aaron with still here with Joe and with Mike. And we're continuing our conversation, of course, on the newest episode of Star Wars Rebels, of course, Steps into the Shadows. Very interesting conversation so far. And, of course, while we were listening, Dan and Corey, of course, Joe brought up the interesting fact of we were discussing Ezra's age before the break and actually found the answer to our question while we were waiting on Dan and Corey to finish up. Joe, fill us in on what you found out about Ezra's age gap here.
I read somewhere I read where Ezra was 14 during season 2, and now he's 17 going into season 3. So there's a three-year gap.
Okay. 3-year gap between season 2 and season 3. That's a big gap in the timeline there, especially since the whole series is supposed to take place within 5 years of A New Hope, which is definitely very, very big jump. And you can see the age difference in Ezra just by his looks. That alone is definitely so. That would put Ezra about 17 then, to answer that question from earlier. Very interesting to see how they've progressed him in age and how they've sped the series up so quickly there. So we definitely have a couple of other people we need to touch on. I know one in particular that everybody's waiting to hear our thoughts on. But we'll start, of course, with the Imperials that we're starting to see pop up. Because we see, of course, Governor Tarkin, or Moff Tarkin, as he is at the beginning of this episode, speaking to the governor of Lothal, who we've heard referenced by name prior, but this is the first time we have seen her. Governor Price it comes in and is very, very quick on the draw there. Now, I don't know if any of y'all, either of y'all, are Indiana Jones fans, but
yep.
Does she not remind you of the Russian from Crystal Skull?
That's who it was based off of.
That's who it was based off of?
Yep.
See, I'm coming up with all this stuff. Yeah, I missed that part. Normally I watch Recon right after each episode, and I have not had a chance to watch Recon yet since this episode aired.
No, I'm looking at IMDb's entry on it.
Oh, wait, really? Okay.
That they have. It says her look was based on Spacco's.
Gotcha. Perfect.
So, Irina? Yeah. Is that her Irina. Name? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was her name. I just can't remember her last name. But definitely, yeah, that looks very similar to her. She's has that same stature, and the picture they have of her on StarWars.com. I mean, the way she's walking just exudes that character through and through. And she's very confident about her role, too. She tells Tarkin that she has Lothal under control, which, you know, with now that our rebels are not on Lothal, I'm sure it's a pretty easy task now.
True.
But of course, she is still worried about the overall rebellion, which is why she asked for the 7th Fleet there. She doesn't have a lot of confidence in Admiral Constantine, who we've seen throughout the series so far. He's the one that's been in charge of the rebel fleet around Lothal that's been chasing after our rebels so far. Hasn't had a lot of success at that point, has he?
Well, nope. Do you trust a guy who hasn't changed his hairstyle since the 70s?
Well, really, have any of these people changed their hairstyle since the 70s?
Yeah, this is true.
This is a series based on a movie that came out in 77, and this is supposed to come before it.
Right.
So we're talking mid-70s at this right. point. Hairstyles. I'm still waiting for the bell bottoms to show up. Yeah, as long as...
Sorry. You picture Ezra breaking into the bridge saying, this is the style police. You're under arrest.
Oh, yeah. Smooth like Colt 45.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Lando. Billy D. Everybody needs a little more Billy D.
That's right.
All right.
It's every time.
They'll all start wearing capes eventually. All right. But we got Governor Price. She definitely played it cool and got what she wanted. And she has full confidence, of course, in the commander of the 7th Fleet, as she shows at the end of the episode when she doesn't hesitate at the orders to let the rebels escape with the Y-Wings. Because there's an overall picture. And who is guiding this overall picture? Then the one...
Palpatine.
Well, Palpatine ultimately, true. Palpatine. But we're looking at the overall picture of capturing the rebels at this point. We're looking at the commander of the 7th Fleet. We're looking at the greatest one of the greatest characters to ever come out of the expanded universe, i.e. the Legends line. We're talking about the long-awaited arrival of our blue friend, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
Oh, man. You know, I was talking to Lisa, our Coffee with Kenobi webmaster there, and social media guru, and she does everything. Nothing on our sites would happen without her. God bless her. Love her to death. But I was talking to her on Facebook the other night, chatting, because she saw it. She saw the episode early, like I did, because of the Disney XD app. And we were chatting about it. And I'm like, what are your thoughts on Thrawn? And we were discussing it. And I told her, I'm like, he is exactly how I pictured him when I read the books.
Yeah.
When I read that original Thrawn trilogy that Timothy Zahn wrote, Heir to the Empire, and all those, his demeanor, his voice, mm-hmm. everything is exactly how it played out in my mind. My only complaint is we didn't get enough of him in this episode.
But right.
He made quite the entrance there, of course.
Well, definitely a good introduction, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We know he'll be back, so.
Oh, yeah. Perfect introduction for Thrawn in this episode. Coming out to Constantine and Price and Tarkin, honestly. Well, I believe Tarkin was there, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, Tarkin
was there. Yeah, he was here.
And having a discussion there, talking about how he... apparently he had recently been promoted to Grand Admiral and of course was talking about how his plans for capturing the rebellion was going to work. And he was going to let them tear themselves apart piece by piece. They would be the tools of their own destruction.
I think the rest of this recording should be done in his tone.
Oh, very much.
Something I can mimic his tone.
Oh man, okay. And he's voiced by Lars, correct? Lars Mikkelsen. Whose brother, of course, is playing Director Krennic in Rogue One coming out in December. But Lars, of course, is now in the Star Wars universe as Grand Admiral Thrawn, and I tell you, he delivered a stellar performance in this. And he definitely has just a way about him and the way he carries himself, everything. And after he made that statement about how he's going to let the rebels be the instrument of their own destruction, it kind of fades into that planet and his eyes are the last thing to disappear. Those big red, red eyes lingered over that planet. And as the Phantom flies in, wow.
Yeah, they nailed it. You know, you said it on here. Just is exactly like as he was portrayed in the books. They didn't miss anything.
No.
And that's the voice you heard. I agree. That's the voice you heard the first time you read those books. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It truly is. They did a phenomenal job bringing him to life. And I understand they brought in Timothy Zahn, of course, who's writing the new Thrawn book. Due out in, I believe it's April. I don't think I can wait till April. But
yeah, I might actually have to read that one.
Oh, I definitely. I've already pre-ordered it, so it's waiting on the pre-order to go open. But yeah, that one's definitely a must-read in my library. But they really brought him in. They brought Thrawn in. They brought Zahn in to give his feedback and everything, and definitely it went over quite well. What was your initial reaction, Joe, when you first saw, Thrawn enter in? And of course, as his story played out through this episode,
I loved him. I mean, it's hard not to like the character, not to love the character that Zahn created. He's easily one of the best characters to come out of that trilogy of books.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that he's now canon. He's now existed. He officially exists. It's cool.
Exactly. And, I mean, Zahn created a lot of phenomenal characters in that trilogy of books. He gave us, of course, Thrawn. He introduced us, of course, to what, according to the line of books, was Luke and, or not Luke, but Han and Leia's children, the twins, of course, Mara Jade. There are a lot of great characters that came out of the book, but for some reason, Thrawn has always been the one that has stuck out over all the others. He's just a diabolical genius at this point.
Right.
A mastermind beyond anything anybody can reckon.
And you mentioned Zahn's, the characters he created. I wonder, Thrawn leads the Seventh Fleet then?
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll see, who was second in command? I'm sorry?
Eliand.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, I think that would be another cool character to see.
It would definitely be quite interesting to see what crossover characters they bring in, because he was surrounded by quite a few larger than life Imperials in that.
Right.
And his second in command of his Star Destroyer. It'd be interesting to see if they name his Star Destroyer the same. I'm trying to remember right now what his Star Destroyer was called. I'll have to look that. Oh man, what was the name of that Star Destroyer?
I don't remember.
Haven't read it since the 90s.
I try to read it like every other year. I go through and it's not my year to read it. It's been the last year. I can't remember. So if you're listening, and I know you are, let us know. Remind me, because by the time we're done recording and this gets edited and posted, I'm going to forget to walk 20 feet across the room and grab the book and look to see what it is. So tweet us at Rebels Reactions there on Twitter and let us know.
I did find something interesting in IMDb's database.
Yes.
About the Thrawn character.
Okay.
It says, when Grand Admiral Thrawn appears first, there is a relief on the wall behind him showing two lizard-like creatures. Dave Filoni confirmed that these are a deliberate nod to the Heir to the Empire trilogy, where Thrawn wears Ysela Mari on his shoulders to nullify the effects of the Force. Yes. He goes on to say they will not feature in the movie, in the Rebels.
Okay.
So,
yeah, he did walk around with those a lot in the books, and that was right. To control the Jedi. He was the Jedi clone he was dealing with. So he did wear those quite a bit.
Yeah, so. Now I'll have to watch it again to see that relief.
Oh, absolutely. They got a picture of it there on StarWars.com. If you look up Thrawn in the databank, you can see that picture. That's what that is, the picture there with the Ysela Mari on his shoulder, looking to appear to be on his shoulder, one on each side. Definitely a nice nod to the books at that point. But I don't think it'll be the last either. I think,
oh no,
I think they'll just keep, throwing us a nod here, a nod there, bringing up these books. Let's talk about Thrawn's strategy. Of course, we know from the books he's a brilliant tactician. We know from this episode of Rebels that he is, of course, as Governor Price put it when she was talking to Tarkin, when he was talking about Constantine versus the Seventh Fleet, she said she needed a military person, she needed a soldier, she needed somebody who could think and destroy them, whereas Constantine was a politician, more of a politician. So we already know, based on that conversation, that Thrawn definitely is a military leader that's highly respected and has a very good military reputation around him as commanding the Seventh Fleet there.
Just his promotion too, the fact that he says, the Emperor just promoted me, sort of thing. He's a big deal. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's a big deal. And he begins to, right off the bat, when he's talking about his strategy of how he's going to beat your enemies, you must know your enemies.
See, you just fall into that voice.
How can you not fall into this voice when you're talking about Admiral Thrawn? Yeah, I used to read the books like that.
Right. But, I don't doubt it.
He's talking about his strategy on how he's going to beat them. And that, opens up a whole new look into his mastermind, into his genius at that point. Let's look at him from a strategic standpoint at this point. What do you think his chances are against our rebels, Joe?
Slim.
You don't think he can take out our rebels?
Oh, you mean him against the rebels?
Yeah.
I was saying the rebels' chance.
Oh, no. What's Thrawn's chance? So essentially the same question, just reversed. So what do you think Thrawn's chances of taking out our heroes are?
I think it's going to happen in some form. I think he'll succeed in dismantling them from the inside.
From the inside out?
Yep.
Very good. Mike?
He needs to be effective. This is not plot related. This is sort of behind the scenes when they're writing these things, but they can't have him not be effective, at least for a while. I'm speaking of the writers. I'm speaking of running the show. This guy has got to do some damage. We really haven't seen it yet in Rebels. The characters are going through their own issues between themselves, but the Empire really hasn't been that effective.
No.
Exactly. So if this season becomes a turning point where he's the guy to get it done as he did, in the Legends books, let's see some damage. Let's see some, let's see the Empire get the upper hand. Yeah. Like we've seen Vader. Vader's done some damage, obviously, but in general, the Empire has, laughed at, made fun of as far as their effectiveness so far in the series. So yeah, if you're going to bring in a character with this kind of caliber, this kind of reputation, absolutely, let's see him do some damage to the rebels.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it's something that needs to happen. The reason the Death Star defeat in A New Hope was such a huge deal is because they hadn't had victories against the Empire like this. It was a skirmish here, a skirmish there, and they didn't do so well from what you were led to believe. This was a massive victory for them in A New Hope. So definitely we need to see Thrawn wreak some havoc, even if it means locating their current secret base and driving them from there, causing massive destruction, and maybe only our ghost escapes. I mean, who knows?
Right.
There has to be a big price paid with them. I can't see them bringing somebody of his caliber in and dropping him like that.
Yeah.
And letting him fail time after time when he's that big of a fan favorite.
Yeah.
So definitely I expect to see some grand things from Admiral Thrawn through the rest of the season. I'm sorry, that was a terrible play on words. That was absolutely terrible. Oh, wow. Dan Corey is going to fire me for that one.
If his grand schemes don't pay off in a grand fashion.
They better work admirably.
You guys are bad.
We have fun. What can we say?
Come on. There's an English teacher that runs this thing. We have to impress him. That's right.
True. That is true. And sometimes just, throwing a British accent in there doesn't work. But yes, we definitely, Thrawn is destined for greatness, I believe, in this series. And I think we'll see it. And we definitely got some good things going forward. One thing I did notice here, we were talking earlier, and I failed to mention it, and I just saw it cross my screen when we were talking about the resemblance or the beginning to draw connections to A New Hope, and of course supposed to be making connections to Rogue One with the Y-wing squadron that was stolen. Of course, they get it back to the base, and of course, and something else we didn't touch on, the loss of the Phantom too, which we'll get to in a second. But we hear Hera tell the crew that they're not keeping the Y-wings. They're not going to keep them with their cell and with their group. They're actually being transferred to General Dodonna.
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 Yep. I literally jumped off the couch and did a fist pump when she said that.
Oh, I tell you, we are building for that Death Star assault right there and that then and
yeah.
there, because it is coming. So General Dodonna is getting his Y-wings and starting the fleet. So we'll definitely see those coming soon. Hopefully, I don't know if we'll get to see Dodonna as the show goes on. It'd be interesting to see him on screen again in an animated portion. But the connection was drawn there as well.
That connects Clone Wars to Episode 4 too.
Exactly, with the Y-Wings.
The Y-Wings were from the Clone Wars.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it was always implied the X-Wings and the Y-Wings were sort of old technology that the Rebels sort of cobbled together. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah. And we know they were from these Y-Wings that they're grabbing are from the Clone Wars, because the one character we haven't mentioned was Chris good old Rex when they're talking about the Y-Wings before they go in to try to steal them. He talks about how they were a reliable workhorse for him during the Clone Wars.
Yep.
So definitely he has some hope and like of those vehicles, which definitely was enough of a persuasion for them to go get them as right. well.
It was great seeing Rex. A couple of throwbacks to the Clone Wars too, where, you know, Ezra gets his promotion to Lieutenant Commander and Rex is calling him by the rank. He's calling him Lieutenant. At least he did it a few times. I mean, not the whole episode, but at least a few times he did, you know, he's a military guy. That's what he's going to do. And then, of course, when they're on the station and those demolition droids, whatever they were attacking, you know, Rex starts yelling about, I'll get those clankers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was awesome. That was so nice to hear that phrase after the Clone Wars.
Soldiers. That he hates droid soldiers.
Oh, he does.
Right.
Absolutely. And so he was ready to take out those clankers, and definitely it was good to hear some of those Clone Wars throwbacks and yep. see those. And I got a feeling we'll see more of those, because, of course, if you remember during the teaser we got from Celebration, we see a whole army of battle droids eventually. So it'll definitely be fun in the future as well as this season goes on. But definitely overall, this was a phenomenal first episode of the third season of Rebels. A great, great time, great show, a great episode. And I'd be dismiss if I didn't mention Kevin Kiner again. Kevin Kiner is the composer for the Clone Wars and for Rebels as well. And he really did a phenomenal job with this episode. He does a phenomenal job with every episode. But this episode, with the cues that he did for Thrawn, and you can listen to one of them here on StarWars.com. He's got the cue up from when Thrawn first arrives and has his meeting with Price and Constantine and of course Tarkin as well. That audio cue's up there, so, and you can just listen to that, and you can hear the emotion, hear the depth and the gravity of the situation in his music. And definitely he adds a whole new dimension each and every episode.
There was a great bit too with some vocal, some choral work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which we know in Star Wars always means dark side, always means bad news.
Oh yes.
So it kicks the scene up to another level when you start hearing that.
Oh, absolutely, and definitely that's one thing Star Wars always has had music that has set a mood and stepped it up a notch. And John Williams always did that in the movies, has always done it to date. Of course, we'll see. I got a feeling Michael Giacchino, I'm probably butchering his name, who's the new composer on Rogue One, is going to be doing the same thing. I've heard some of his other tracks in the past from the Star Trek movie, the Star Trek movie reboots, and some other things he's done, and he's phenomenal composer. So
look, I guess he did the music for the Star Tours rides at the Disney parks.
Yes, he did. He has done Star Wars, so he did the Star Wars the Star Tours rides, the music there, which is always fun and exciting. And of course Kiner just keeps going on with it here. So definitely check out that audio cue and check out the music too. I mean, he's got the soundtrack for Clone Wars out. Pick that up if you like his music, because it's definitely worth it. Definitely some phenomenal music by Kevin Kiner. So, but definitely we had a great episode all around. Everybody did a great job in the episode, from the cast to the guest stars to the animation, of course, was top-notch, as it always is. And, of course, the music and sound effects, phenomenal as always.
Yeah.
One last thing we want to hit on, of course, is we want to take a moment of silence and remember the Phantom as she plunged and exploded into smithereens toward the end of this episode. So just a quick moment of silence for the Phantom. Poor ship. May she rest in peace. She was a good shuttle. And of course, definitely that was a surprise for me, seeing the Phantom just plunge away and get destroyed, because that was really a workhorse for them. But hopefully we'll see something new come up out of it as a replacement, but we shall see as time goes on. Back of the Ghost is going to look awfully empty without her.
Yeah, for sure. I guess that's maybe an early sign of what we can expect. Oh, there's the first piece, maybe Thrawn was speaking of.
Could be, very well, could be.
Piece by piece.
Piece by piece.
I'll take their shuttle, I'll take the Ghost, and then, yeah, I got to slip into my impression again. I better stop.
Well, definitely a great episode all around. So we'll go through here, and of course we'll start with Joe and get your final thoughts on this episode, Steps Into the Shadow.
I give it an A. Great premiere.
Perfect. Mike, how about you? Any final thoughts and a grade for the episode?
I loved it. Although Joe letting us know that this is occurring 3 years after the last season, I think maybe they should have spent a little bit of time.
It's actually not.
Oh, it wasn't 3 years.
No, it's not. I don't know where I read that. I read on IMDb that the episode guides on Star Wars says this was 6 months after two.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, that just put my grade up then. So
there we go.
Yeah. Definitely an A. Yeah. It was a really, I like that they double up on these season openers, that it's two episodes linked together. It needed the space, you figure, between what's going on with Ezra and Kanan and, oh, please, somebody help me out with Doctor Who's name.
Oh, Bendu.
Baker.
Bendu, thank you. I keep wanting to say Bogan, and I know that's not right. you had that going on. You've got Hondo. You've got trying to get the Y-Wings back. You've got the introduction of Thrawn. Just a jam-packed, so it was a good 45 minutes of Star Wars. Just good pace, good fun. And I love seeing Y-Wings, and I love hearing General Dodonna's name. Even given.
Yep.
That's exciting to me. That's getting us so close to where we want to be in December, really. I mean, forget about episode 4. I mean, I'm so excited to see where this leads us into Rogue One.
Exactly. And it's going to be definitely a fun ride between here and there, and definitely all around greatness to come, for sure. Absolutely. I love the episode. I was fortunate enough to get to watch it couple hours before it was aired on Disney HD, on Disney XD, because of their mobile app had it early, so I was able to watch it there. Actually got to watch it twice before it came out, which was fun. But it just all around phenomenal episode, and it was definitely a great time. We get to see a lot of covered a lot of ground really quick in this episode with how advanced Ezra has gotten, not only his use in the Force, but how he looks at the dark side. Of course, we see how Kanan, of course, a lot of growth in Kanan just in this episode, with going from sulking about his disability to overcoming it, essentially. He's still got a ways to go, but definitely he's well on his way to a different recovery. And we get to see how the advancement of the rebellion's going. We're starting to see a little more of what we are familiar with from the movies, and looking forward to see a lot more coming. And I don't think we're done with some of the characters we were introduced to as well. I know we'll see a lot from Thrawn coming up. I got a feeling we'll definitely see a lot more of Bendu coming up as well, as long as that base is on that planet. So definitely some more of him. And that's my only major complaint is I wanted more Thrawn. And I'll have to wait till next week. So,
yeah, we'll get him.
We'll get it. We'll get it by the end of the season. That is for sure. So definitely we want to wrap this up, and definitely thank both of you, Joe and Mike, for coming on and joining us tonight on our third season kickoff for Star Wars Rebels and our Rebels Reactions crew. Of course, definitely we appreciate you joining us. Let the fans know how they can talk to you and how they can connect with you if they want to. Mike, we'll start with you.
Well, you can find me at Mike M at coffeewithkenobi.com. I also write for retrozap.com. I write about my Star Wars room in a series called Special Modifications, where I just talk about my collection. And just in the last couple of weeks, actually the first episode just came out this past Sunday, I have launched a new collecting podcast with my co-host Dan Lazat called The Sandcrawler. So if you're into Star Wars collecting, we want to hear from people, and we want to find out what makes people collect what they collect.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome. Awesome. Joe, how about you?
Well, I go by the name of Joe Shujitsu on Coffee with Kenobi. My monthly blog drops when I get it done on the 7th of every month. And I have a Twitter handle, but I don't use it. I'm not on it very often. That's Joe2D2_Joe at Twitter.com. You can always also email me at Joe2@CoffeeWithKenobi.com, and you can just read my blog.
Perfect. 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 And definitely we'll have all that in the show notes as well there on CoffeeWithKenobi.com. Definitely if you want to tell us what you think about the kickoff to Season 3, Steps into the Shadows, definitely let us know. You can, of course, hit us up on Twitter at Rebels Reactions. You can email us, rebelsreactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. Let us know what you think. Who knows, you may have a email read on the air. Definitely let us know what your thoughts were, and definitely we'd love to hear it. Of course, if you want to get a hold of me, of course, you can do it through the show, or of course on my personal Twitter. That's the best way to get a hold of me, at TAHarris121079, or of course email me at aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. Joe, Mike, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been a great discussion.
Thanks, Aaron. Fun.
Definitely a lot of fun. We'll, of course, be back next week with the Season 3 continues strong with the next episode, which seems to be a Maul-centric episode. So we'll get to see some Darth Maul coming up again. So a lot of looking forward to. So, Mike, Joe, thank you very much. Everybody, thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. Remember, this is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section, or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre One. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.